Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid the Batmobile lost its wheel, and the Joker got away. Hey!
Hey!
That's my favorite Christmas song, since you were asking.
That's cool. So, welcome to another episode of Talking with Mar.
Hi.
Where an apartment librarian lets you in on the secrets of the library.
Yeah! You want to know how, like, I'm such a great librarian? I got some for you. BuzzFeed had a 10-question quiz on how well do you know the Dewey Decimal System? I got 10 out of 10. What? BuzzFeed, motherfucker.
Okay.
So,
we'll start out with the last book you read. What was the last book you read?
I just finished 2 audiobooks this week. I re-listened to The Bad Beginning, the first book of a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket, because the Netflix show is coming in, like, 3 weeks, and I'm fucking excited. Yeah, I can't wait.
I need to listen to those again, too.
It just, like, it looks amazing, and I can't wait. So, you know what we're going to be binge-watching. And then I also finished listening to this book by Jennifer Niven. It just came out. It is called Holding Up the Universe. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. It's a YA novel, and it's alternating perspectives between this really popular boy at the high school who, it turns out, he has face blindness. And then the other perspective is this girl named Libby, who was at one point, quote unquote, America's fattest teen and had to be cut out of her house. And, like, that was a couple years prior to the story, and she, like, has lost several hundred pounds. She's still overweight, though, and, like, she goes back to school and faces, like, taunting because, like, some of the people remember who she was and, like, they've seen the YouTube video of her being cut out of her house. And then other people just don't like her because she's fat now and that kind of thing. And it was, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about it, because it had some good messages to it, like, she really stands up for herself, and she doesn't take shit from a lot of people, but it was also one of those ones where it was, like, there's insta-love shit, and,
yeah,
like, romantic, angsty shit, and...
From your description, it kind of reminds me, what was the book you read about the hoarding mother?
Oh, but that book was really good.
What was it?
Oh, shit. No,
Now, quality podcasting as Mar looks it up on her phone.
One Little Piece, or no, Dirty Little Secret, that's what it was called. Dirty Little Secret, that's what it was called. I forget the author's name, but it was a Florida Teen Read book several years ago, and I read it when it was on the list. Oh, my God. That was one of the books that stuck with me.
So you'd recommend that book?
I would really recommend that book, because that one follows the girl where she is trying to keep a normal life and keep it a secret that her mom's a hoarder. Like, you know, she's got to, like, keep people out of her house, and, you know, her mom wants to take over her room, which is her one little bit of sanctuary that she keeps clean and stuff, and there's just, oh my gosh, it was very dramatic and everything. Like, she's trying to have a normal high school life, but it's just, like, really dramatic and fucked up. I like a lot of fucked up. But, no, I'm just really torn about this one because it was... I have a problem with some of the YA books where it's, like, the only way they identify some of these characters that maybe don't fit inside, like, a nice, neat little norm of, like, skinny little hetero high school popular student is that, like, if they're gay, the story has to be about them having problems being gay. If they're fat, the story has to be about problems of them being fat. Like, it can never just be, like, oh, they happen to be gay, they happen to be fat, they happen to be, you know, like, you know. There's very few books where people get to be, like, different and happy. So, you know,
haven't moved past it being
an
issue book.
Yeah. But, I mean, those do serve a purpose, too, because you do help to build, you know, people can see themselves in books, and then also it can open other people's eyes, like, to experiences that you don't necessarily experience firsthand. So I'm just, like, kind of torn about the book.
Okay. The last book I read was actually The Rebirth Wonder Woman, Volume 1, The Lies.
Thanks, NetGalley.
Which Mar hasn't read yet, so I won't do too many spoilers. But
was it awesome?
Yeah, it's really good. Okay. It's written by Greg Rucka, who I think has always been one of the best Wonder Woman writers. And artwork by Lauren Sharp. I think it's a really good rebirth. It kind of also gives hints about some of the reasons why that's a mystery about the changes that happened during the New 52. Like, she's saying her memories are scrambled, and she remembers, like, 3 different ways she come to being born and stuff like that. But it also has her, like, it's a starting to a new storyline with the rebirth and such. So the first volume is not really a full story. It's like it's a first volume. Like so, like, but the artwork's gorgeous in it, and I think it's a really good jumping on point for people in a way. Even though it's referencing some stuff tied into a big continuity thing with the rebirth from the past continuities, but I think it works for new readers also, so I'd highly recommend it.
I'm excited about getting those, because I need to fill in my library collection with more DC titles. I have way more Marvel titles. Like, you could totally see it if you go through my graphic novels. It's like, Marvel, Marvel, Marvel.
So what's your next library program you got coming up?
My next one is, we're really trying to start tabletop gaming on a regular basis for the teens. They've asked for that, and they're going to try and play Pandemic on Tuesday. And then in January, we're having our Sherlock-themed escape room, so I'm trying to put that together.
Yeah, if you check out the last episode of Talking with Mark...
I was really mean about that, too.
Well, no, that's all right. But if you check out the last episode, we discuss it in more detail.
Yeah. I was kind of bitching about a lot of other libraries, and that was kind of mean.
But what are they... onto the tabletop issue, what are they currently playing a lot?
Yeah. The one that gets picked up quite a lot is they like Exploding Kittens, which I just picked up Imploding Kittens, and it has a Cone of Shame, so I think the teens are really going to like the Cone of Shame.
But is it safe for work?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because we have all three versions of Exploding Kittens, including the not safe for work version, which is really not safe for work.
Two versions of it.
There's three. There's a regular one, there's a not safe for work one, and then there's this one that just came out.
Well, Imploding Kittens is an expansion.
Well, it's still three different versions.
And then one of the girls has asked that I bring Pandemic in. She'd like to try that. I still have quite a few that like Magic the Gathering, but they haven't been coming to play as often.
I've never played Magic the Gathering, even though people when I was in college always tried to get me to play it.
Yeah. And then they like this game a lot that I found in the Creative Commons called Slash, which plays, like, Cards Against Humanity, but it's characters from, like, history, fandoms, like, all kinds of stuff, and then you're trying to make up the best, like, Slash fiction pairing with them. So whoever would ship together the best. And if your ship wins, then you win the card, like in Cards Against Humanity.
Are they still playing all the Cards Against Humanity?
So? I do not bring Cards Against Humanity.
Why'd they go too nuts with it?
No, I do not bring that one. I let them play Apples to Apples, which Cards Against Humanity is, like, the gameplay is based off of Apples to Apples, actually. So I let them play Apples to Apples. But Cards Against Humanity is, like, really fucked up. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have, like, I have the game, but I don't bring that game. I have had them play, I found a Doctor Who version of it, and I took out the really profane cards. It was, like, Cards Against Gallifrey or something.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other one? Oh, Super Fight plays, like, Cards Against Humanity.
That's the one I gave you one.
Yeah, you got that out of Loot Crate. And yeah. They like that one, too. Because those are, like, fast games, and quite a few of them can play at once. What else have they played? Oh, a couple of them played my Oregon Trail game, and they liked that, so...
Oh, they did? Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Which, like, I finally got it, yay.
Yeah, after, like, going to Target 8 billion times trying to get it.
Oh, my God, that was an
idea. And now they're gets me, it's pitiful.
Yeah.
Now Mark's latest Target's obsession is trying to get the NES.
I need a fucking NES, okay? Like, I just want it. They're really excited about retro gaming, though, in March. We're gonna do that. Like, I'm gonna bring the Sega Genesis and the Pac-Man game that I have, because they like that.
Cool. So what are you currently reading?
I am listening to Tales of the Peculiar. It's a short story collection that goes with Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. It's like fairy tale. Well, not fairy tales, but like I would liken it to Tales from Beetle the Bard from J.K. Rowling. But it's more like a peculiar history, like stories about other peculiars that one of the kids from Miss Peregrine's...
So it's kind of expanding in the universe.
Yeah, a little bit. And apparently Ransom Riggs is going to write 3 more books set in America, though.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just heard that recently, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's cool. My current read is The Doctors Are In. It's a nonfiction guidebook, the essential guide and an official guide to Doctor Who's Greatest Time Lord by Graham Burke and Robert Smith.
Question mark.
Which I like that.
I like that a lot.
But, yeah, and I've read 800 Doctor Who guidebooks.
Dude, you probably fucking write one.
Yeah, I probably could. And I'm going to review this further when I finish it on Brain Leakage, the Doctor Who podcast.
I have a question. Why isn't your Doctor Who podcast, like, named something Doctor Who-ish?
Because, well... We'll get into this here, I guess. Because all my podcasts are actually named after things I used to write about when I blogged regularly.
Okay.
So, like, Brain Leakage was when I would talk about TV shows and stuff. And I Wish I was when I would talk about comics. And, like, Under the Training Book was my general stuff, which is my more like rants and stuff like that, and rambles.
Okay.
But that's what it's named after. And basically, I took the images that I created for each one of those things and used those images for the individual
podcast. Okay,
podcasts.
So you're just carrying over kind of like your branding from your blog. Okay.
Yeah. And that's why...
I never read his blog.
Well, I don't think I was blogging when we met. I think I'd already stopped by then and was more writing. Because blogging takes a lot of time that you could be actually writing books instead of blogging about writing.
Like, I'm not a writer myself. And, like, every time I've ever tried to keep a diary or do a blog, like, there's, like, two entries and then I'm done.
And that's why I recently started the one at the blog. The podcast Under the Training Book, which is, like, basically me... In general, just, like, journaling and stuff in a way. Down the original one, so far, was basically the one with you. And then I got two others. A friend wanted me to start a Star Wars one that he's going to join it, which we started doing it. But in February, when he gets done with something he's working on right now, he's going to join in and do it with me.
Cool, cool, cool.
And then I got...
And next week we can talk about Rogue One, so...
Yeah. And then I got, like, the another one I'm going to be doing with a comic book related one on a certain character, which is going to be starting in February with another friend.
Oh, my God.
So those are the original ones. It's a network of shows.
All right, Chris fucking Harwin. Jesus.
But, yeah, so that's the big story behind why the names don't fit.
I regret asking.
Plus, I'm not good at puns, and almost everyone at a podcast...
You gotta have a pun.
Breaking Bad or something like that. They're punish, and they're punishable to hear most of the time.
I see what you did there. Hashtag David Luber.
But David Luber's the best at puns, though. Okay.
I love him. I really do.
So, anything else library related you'd like to discuss right now? It's a hot issue or anything? How about the big issue with Abrams?
Oh, good Lord.
You want to get into that?
How much time do we have?
First, right. Explain the Abrams issue.
An imprint of Abrams tried to publish these, like, golden books for adults. And if you're not familiar with golden books, they're classic children's books. It's like Pokey the Puppy and stuff like that.
Oh, and by the way, Abrams, you were fucking ripping off people doing it on the internet. Don't act like you did
this. Like, this is a thing that, like, you know, taking children's things and turning them into adults. The most well-known one is Go the Fuck to Sleep, which is based off of Nancy Tillman's books. Like, the artwork and everything looks just like stuff from Nancy Tillman's. Go the Fuck to Sleep is a really great one because it models the exact, like, tone of her books. It's very sweet. Like, the rhythm is, like, very spot on with these actual children's books, but it's laced with profanity, you know, like, you're crying, please go the fuck to sleep. Like, it's just a humorous thing for adults. Nobody's hurt with it, by the way. Like, it doesn't hurt children to know that their parents are frustrated because they won't go to sleep. Like, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody. Abrams decided, we're going to make these really, like, you know, adult, humorous ones that they called satire, which I think you use that word, and I don't think you know what that word means, where it had things like a little girl in a burqa handing a bomb to a white boy, and bad Asian driver with, like, a little girl driving a car off of a roof, and, like, all this really fucking racist shit. And then they tried to say, like, you just don't get our humor. And it's like, no, I get what you were saying. You're being fucking racist. See, satire has to have an element of the writer, the artist, and the viewer, the consumer of the art, acknowledging that you are critiquing something. You know, you are showing that this is wrong. Those books had no element of that. It was just like, here's a stereotype and it's funny.
And by the way, I think they would have fit more as a parody than a satire because I think the
I don't think they fit as anything.
I think in definition they would fit more towards a parody because satire, I think, has to be played as real and straight. Like, modest proposal. That's not written in a way that says it's not real. He writes it very straight as if he's really doing that.
But if you're reading it, like, you know that they're like, if you're an intelligent consumer of this product, like, you know that they're not really going to do this. You know, he's criticizing.
And things. Even, like, places I agree with most of the time, like Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, were trying to
defend
him.
And the National Coalition Against Censorship was... They were trying to say that Abrams should be protected from censorship because consumers of products were saying, hey, you're being racist, please don't sell this. Like, we are not going to buy this because it's racist. And then the National Coalition for Censorship was like, don't trample on freedom of speech. And it's like,
This has nothing to do with freedom of speech.
Consumers are voicing an opinion that they are not going to buy this bullshit that Abrams put out, but they were free to publish it. They were free to keep it on fucking shelves. But consumers spoke with their money and said, I'm not buying this.
Yeah. So, like,
I agree. They were just really shitty, too, because the thing that made Go the Fuck to Sleep really, really good is that if you look at this book, please Google Nancy. I think her name's Nancy Tillum. She writes these really, really sweet picture books. And Go the Fuck to Sleep is beautifully modeled off of these books. Like, they are fantastic. Like, that one and then the You Have to Fucking Eat, the other book. Mm-hmm. They are beautifully modeled off of her books. The artwork looks really, really close to it. Just the flow of the language in the books. Also, if you've never listened to the audios for those... Samuel Jackson reads Go the Fuck to Sleep, and then Bryan Cranston reads You Have to Fucking Eat. Listen to them. They're great.
Oh, isn't
they're
there great. A really good Anne Hathaway version of Go the Fuck to Sleep, too?
I think she did. No. Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner.
She read it. She did a video of it.
Which works really well because
she has such a sweet voice and everything. You know, like, those just worked beautifully, and everyone's kind of in on the joke is part of it, too. But these books by Abrams, they were not satire. They were not parody. They were, like, fucking racist shit that, quite frankly, I would expect to see on, like, a neo-Nazi website.
Yep.
Like, it really, really was. And I would never fucking buy these things. Never.
It showed me further that publishers have no fucking idea how to write or what makes good writing. Because, like, big publishers look at that and say, oh, this is satire. No, that's not fucking satire.
You use that word and you don't know what it means.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think it would go closer to a parody of something that's happening in reality than a satire. So, like, yeah. I don't even think it fits
and,
at what they were trying to say.
And if your response is to be like, you don't get my humor, like, well, here's my middle finger, you don't get my money.
Yeah,
bye.
And plus, like, they were so defensive about it. It's another one of those things, like, if they come out and said, well,
we fucked up.
Or just say, like, this is a line of books we're publishing for adults. Whatever. No, you get on defensive and you go on attacking people who
just want to ask you about it. Their letter was such bullshit.
Yeah, it was.
Oh.
So, like, I just think...
And then, I'm sorry, I'm ashamed for the National Coalition Against Censorship. Like, I am ashamed for you. Like,
yeah.
That you stuck your neck out for that.
Really. Like,
please.
With some of the fucking propaganda out there, why aren't you going on, like criticizing publishing of some actual... people be going after some actual people. No, you're not doing that. When we got a congressman wanting actually banned stuff and people like that wanting actually banned censorship.
You know,
when we have a president-elect who's wanting to censor TV shows and stuff and say they can't say stuff. No, you want to go after somebody that's talking about that. So
you want to go after consumers who are saying, like, I'm not buying this book because you're racist and say that's censorship. No. You have a president-elect that wants to kick people out of the country if they burn flags. Supreme Court already said that that's protected speech. Like, that's freedom of expression and it's protected. You know, these are the battles you need to be fighting. Don't fucking get mad at the internet for calling out a publisher for putting out bullshit books, okay? I'm not spending my money on it, and thank goodness Abrams saw that there's no market for that bullshit.
And by the way, even if I didn't agree with the person that was criticizing it, the moment they started defending that, I'm like, why are you fucking defending this multi-billion dollar company that has no problem with whatever they're doing? They don't need you to fucking defend them.
And guess what? We're going to have a little primer in the First Amendment here. It is only actual censorship if the government stops you from doing it. Okay?
Which is the battles they need to be fighting.
That's the battle they need to be fighting. You know, Abrams totally, they were within their right to publish that book, and they did, in fact, publish that book. And then the market said, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, that's the First Amendment.
If the market decides they don't want something, like if like people say they don't want something, then like why would you even be published?
Where was the National Coalition for Censorship when the faith issue that had Hillary Clinton on it was getting like all that shit from, oh, what's the terminology for neo-Nazis? Alt-right folks. I see you. You know, where was the national, where were they? Where were they on that?
No, I'd never heard of them until
this. They didn't make a fucking peep about that. But, if they did and I didn't see that, I will apologize and say, okay, good. You're on that too. But I didn't hear a peep about
it. I think when, like, this started with one person having a complaint and then it blew up online.
Because it got pointed out. Yeah,
and if you ask me, and I, even in the group I love, like the Comic Book League of Defense Fund and like this National Coalition of Censorship, both, I think they just jumped on the bandwagon and tried to get some shine off of it. If you ask me, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I mean, we've got real censorship problems. What was the school district in Virginia that pulled Tom Sawyer, no, Huckleberry Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird off the shelves this week? Yeah, because it's racist language, and it's like, it's supposed to be racist because it's teaching you that people are racist and it's bad.
Here, I'm from Virginia, and I'll tell you, that's always been a fight in schools in Virginia. It has nothing. It's disguised under the fact that it's used racist language because they don't want those fucking books in the schools because, unlike fucking textbooks in Virginia, those books actually show racism in the country.
They don't want you learning empathy for a man that's wrongly accused of raping a woman and has no jury of his peers or anything, you know.
Yeah.
Don't want people thinking for themselves. That's the fight y'all need to be fighting if you're fighting against censorship.
So we went from this podcast actually going to be shorter to being pretty good lit.
And I went from, like, talking about, like, books that we were reading to, like, ranting.
So fuck you, Abrams.
Fuck you, Abrams. The end.
Okay. Bye, Mar. Say bye, Mar.
Fuck you, Abrams.
Is that your bye?
That's my sign off.
Okay. Fuck you, Abrams. Maybe we should make that at the end every time. Just fuck you, Abrams.
Can we stop recording already? Jesus Christ.